This morning's sermon is an exposition from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because we know that you will be present here through this word. That you would open our hearts, Lord, to receive from you what you have today. And we ask your blessing on Pastor John, your willing servant who has prepared with you, Lord, what it is that you'd like to convey. So, Lord, clear aside any distractions in his mind and ours, that our hearts would be ready to receive the seed of your word. May it find good soil this morning, Lord, the truth and not error. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Okay. What were our parents trying to tell us when they said that? Well, as we were crying and upset over some slight or, you know, abuse that we received. They weren't trying to make us enlightened monks living in Tibetan temples, okay? That's not what they were trying to do. They weren't trying to have us find some kind of mind over matter in life. What they were trying to communicate to us was that, yes, words have the possibility of hurting you. Something that was communicated to you that was meant to be hurtful, you can allow that to hurt you, but you're in control, is what they were saying. You know, sticks and stones, if somebody actually hits you with a stick, or throws a stone at you, it's always going to hurt. But it's up to you whether or not insults and abuse or lies, let's say, have any opportunity to hurt you. That's your responsibility. It's what they were trying to communicate. You know, for modern man, I'm talking about today, the Westerner, Americans, the spiritual is certainly affirmed, okay? We're very spiritual people, and if you want to be spiritual, you'll be affirmed in that. But the spiritual, for the modern man, is always second class, always second, you know, always plays second fiddle to the material world. The natural world, I'm talking about the sciences and technology and objective truth, this is reality for us. It's real reality, okay? Science, technology, what we can see in a laboratory, what we can know with our own eyes, hear with our own ears, and taste with our own mouths. That's what's really real. Ideas for us are a bit like ghosts or apparitions, phantoms, ciphers. That's what ideas are. They're really only as real as you allow them to be. If you want to believe in something, it becomes real for you. And that's kind of how an idea is. But if that idea is not rooted in something material, something observable, provable scientifically, then it is really more in the realm of non-reason, okay? I don't know if you've ever heard the William Hughes Mearns poem, but it goes something like this, where he says, "Yesterday upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away." For a lot of us, ideas, these spirits, as John talks about them here, these are that man on the stair that's not going away. He's not there, but he doesn't go away. And I want you to understand today that these ideas, the things that you are refusing to grapple with or come to understand, these things are not going to go away in your life, okay? They're going to remain. And until you have it out, until you find a way to figure it out, they're going to have an adverse effect on your happiness, your fulfillment, and your relationship with God and one another, okay? Our entire world rests on ideas. I know that what we see are buildings, and what we have are books, and what we have are homes and people and flesh and blood and so on and so forth. But our world rests on ideas. It's math that's behind those machines. Invisible, real ideas are behind the manufacture of our machines and our engineering. It's music that's behind the melodies, this invisible music of the spheres. It's logic that's behind our law books. I love that Thoreau poetic setting where he says, the bluebird carries the sky on its back. The sky is huge, it's immense, it's very real, but it's immaterial in some ways, so a bluebird can carry it on its back. That's how ideas are. And because they're not material, and because you can take them and leave them and read them and dismiss them and so on and so forth, we tend to discount their power. We tend to discount their authority, their influence on our lives, but we ought not to do that. And John is very clearly hoping that we not do that. John here in verse 1 addresses us, or the audience to his letter, as his beloved. And I think here there's kind of a parental love and concern in his address when he says, beloved, okay? It's kind of like that parent. Just like our parents tried to tell us by telling us sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. John is coming as a parent here. My beloved, don't believe everything you hear, okay? Please don't do that. Listen and discern what is right and what is wrong. He tells us here to test every spirit. You know, I think for the purpose of this message today, I'm going to identify a spirit, or I'm going to simplify spirit to understand. I want you to understand it to mean an idea, okay? Because that's really what it is when we're talking about a spirit here. For instance, what does a prophet do? Well, a prophet is someone who speaks for God, and whether that's a biblical prophet or an oracle of Delphi or somebody in ancient Greece or Rome or whatever, these are people who purport to be able to offer insights into what cannot be seen or observed, right? And so they come and they give you some kind of insight, some kind of truth or understood truth about the world that we cannot ascertain by our own observation, okay? So for instance, here's a word or here's a spirit. God loves you, okay? What is that? That's a word. It's a statement. It's an idea, and it is a spirit. It has life, it has power, and it can change things, okay? So I think God loves you is a very important and powerful word, which you cannot get from looking around, okay? It's an idea, it's a statement, it's a word from the Lord to you today. There's another spirit, though, and that spirit would be that God is dead. Nietzsche, in his Thus Spoke Zarathustra, has the oracle come down out of the mountains and proclaim that God is dead, okay? And our world picked up on that and has run with it. It's a powerful idea. It's a spirit, okay? Spirit is like the air. It's pneuma, okay? It's a power that is unseen. It's an idea and it's a notion. These ideas, these spirits are real as rain. They're as living as you are sitting there. They're as powerful as dynamite. And thankfully, they're as naked as a jaybird. Okay, you can examine them. You can discern whether or not they're truth or error. And that's what this day is all about. That's what this little message from John is about today. And it's what I want you to key in on. Both have a life of their own. Both of these statements are powerful, and both are able to be examined. John is simply saying here, don't believe everything you hear. Guard your beliefs. Guard your mind in Christ and in the truth of Scripture, that you may be blessed with joy, peace, and productivity. So a couple things about these ideas. This is, you know, how do we go about guarding, or how do we test these spirits, and how do we guard our beliefs and guard our minds? Well, the first thing is to understand the importance of ideas. Okay, that's the first thing. First point I want to make here from this passage is that ideas always seek animation. And what I mean by animation is an idea always looks for and needs and is seeking some material thing to give it life. Okay, it wants to rattle those bones together and get something going. Otherwise, an idea is dead unless it has something to give it life and power. Look at me at just verse 1. Here John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." We are body and spirit, are we not? Okay. I am my body. I am localized in this flesh and blood. So are you. But you are not solely your body. You are also your spirit. There is something immaterial in you, okay, that is not flesh and blood. You are beyond that things. And our beings, who you are inside, who you are at your core, your soul, your spirit, it finds expression through your bodies. So if my spirit, my soul, wants to express itself, it uses the vocal box that God gave me. I use my voice. I interact with my face, my incredibly handsome face, you know. I'm just, yeah, thank you. Thank you, okay. Am I strong hands? No? Okay, all right, stop there, okay. So I use this body of mine to cry, to shout, to embrace, to talk, to do all kinds of things, okay? So do you. And if you want your invisible self to be expressed, you do it through your body. Eden, the Garden of Eden, was an exchange of ideas, was it not? Okay, that's what it was. It was one big exchange of ideas. You had there a truth that God communicated to his people, and he wanted his people to receive that truth, Adam and Eve, the truth that he was God, that this garden that he created for them was perfect, and that if they obeyed the simple laws of that place, that it would go well with them, they'd be blessed. And he wanted them through their bodies and through their voices and their lives and their energy, he wanted them to worship him, okay? And that was a truth, an idea, a spirit seeking animation that God gave out. But you also had in the garden a lie that was seeking animation. And the lie that Satan produced, that he just spoke to them, he just spoke it out, was that you can be like God. Okay, you don't have to have any rules at all. You can be an equal, a peer of God's, and do whatever you want to do. And that idea was applied. It found animation in Adam and Eve. It found animation when they reached out and touched that forbidden fruit, ripped it off of the tree, and bit into it, and ate it and consumed it. And it had a real, it had a huge effect on the world, did it not? On the material world, an idea, a thought, a spirit. They did not test it. They heard what Satan said, and it was received as is. They just consumed it, okay? To believe an idea is to apply it and give it life. John says here, we are to test the spirits. Now listen, if you possessed all wisdom and knowledge today, you could afford to be closed-minded, okay? If you know everything, you can stop listening, okay? Just close it up. You can be closed-minded. Also, if everything every thought and every idea in the world, if it were true, you could afford to be open-minded, okay? But because you don't know everything today, sorry, and because so much of what there is to know is a lie or is an error, you can afford to be neither closed-minded or open-minded. But instead, you need to have a guarded mind, okay? Everything that's spoken to you, everything that's said, every idea, every spirit that comes and offers something to you or whispers something in your ear or shouts something at you, trying to sell it to you, you need to test it. Check the ID. Pat it down for hidden weapons, okay? Interrogate it and find out where it's coming from. You know, wherever you live, I don't know, wherever you live, apartment, house, condominium, whatever, wherever you live, there's a point of entry there. And at that point of entry is a door. And I'm very almost positive, every one of those doors has a locking mechanism on it. Now, why do our homes, where we dwell, why do they have doors? Well, because we want to include. We don't want to just be alone in there, some of us. Okay, we want to include. We want friends to come over for dinner, family to come and visit. We want the plumber to come in and fix the leak, the paramedic to treat the injury. We want to let the puppy come in out of the rain. Great. But we also want to exclude. We want that door on there with the lock so that we can keep some out. We don't want the robber or the vandal or the armed man to come in. We want to exclude them, or the shyster, the con man, the tempter, the pusher, the raccoon, the crow, the rat. We want all them out, okay? I don't want anything in my house that doesn't belong there. It's going to do harm or rob or steal. You get the idea. Now, your mind has a point of entry. In fact, it has several. And that point of entry has a door. It needs to be guarded, okay? It needs to be guarded. I want you to understand something. Inside of your mind is a belief system. And of all the systems in your body, it's just as important as any other. It's just as important as the central nervous system. It's just as important as your respiratory system, your circulatory system, reproductive, whatever, okay? Every single one of your systems is important, and so is your belief system. I think it's just as important as the central nervous system. Because your belief system is the one making all the decisions. Your belief system is the one who's charting the course, who's determining most of your outcomes, who's also, you know, kind of regulating your state of mind and your emotions. It's your belief system, okay? And that belief system is open to sabotage and corruption. It's a very fragile thing. It's a very complex, complicated thing. It's very easily sabotaged and overwhelmed. So I want you to ask you a question. Is anybody standing guard at that door? Now, I know for some of you, you decided a long time ago to brick that wall up, okay? That door up. You just bricked it up and said, I'm done thinking about the. I've kind of arrived at where I am. My voicemail box is full. You can call. You cannot leave a message, okay? I've heard everything I need to hear. I've kind of made my big decisions, and I'm done. I'm closed-minded. And I won't get anything good, but I'm not getting anything more bad. This is what it is. And some of you, your mind, the door is swinging off the hinge. It's wide open. Your mind has become a flop house for every vagrant thought that wants to come in and squat for a while and do whatever it wants to do. You are totally unguarded, and you're accepting and welcoming into your heart and mind and life anything and everything, a bunch of error and a bunch of lies. I just want to challenge you and remind you, okay, an idea needs your cooperation. It's not powerful in and of its own. It needs your cooperation for good and for bad. So I want you to understand, first of all, what John understands. And by the way, you know, John is, he's not a Westerner. He was an Easterner. And so I think he understands some of these things a little bit better than our Western minds can grasp. But he understands here, as an Easterner, how important and vital these ideas are, okay, and how important they are to the functioning of everything. And so he wants you to pay attention that these ideas are looking to find application in your life. Second thing I want you to understand about these ideas is that ideas seek dominion, okay? They seek complete control and power and authority. Look at verses 2-3. Here John continues, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Do you guys have the John 1:1 slide up there? Is that possible? We're going to play. I'll show you John 1:1-5. This is the same author talking about Jesus Christ. And this is the very beginning of his gospel. This is how he begins it. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, when he says the Word there, we're talking about an idea, aren't we? We're talking about when God speaks something into existence. Jesus is that spoken power of God. It is Jesus Christ, God himself, who created the whole world, the eternal, pre-existent Jesus Christ, equal with the Father, is the one who is the Word, who spoke everything into existence. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, this idea. He says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 there, if you have it. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. So what is John communicating? He's communicating that in the very beginning, everything was God's idea. Okay. And we know that from creation, that when he was done, he looked on it after the sixth day and said, it's perfect. It's just like I want it. That means that everything that was his idea. There wasn't anything that wasn't his idea. But then, of course, tragically, Satan had an idea. Okay? And as Satan had an idea, he communicated that idea, and that idea found purchase. Every idea, then, okay, every spirit, if you want to put it, think of it that way, every notion, every word, every idea or spirit is either God's idea, rooted in Christ, who is the Word, okay, that's what John's communicating there, or it's Satan's idea, rooted in Antichrist. Who is Antichrist? What is Antichrist? Antichrist is that which seeks to take the place of Christ, okay? It's not against Christ, as we understand it. What that word means is in place of, or taking the place of Christ, okay? It's somebody who is purporting to be or acting to be Messiah. That's Antichrist. It's basically a recreation of things. Think of the Tower of Babel, which is the epitome of Babylon and Antichrist, where basically you have the people on earth say, you know what, forget about Eden. Who cares? We'll do something better than Eden. And you're trying to keep us out of heaven. We're going to build a tower and get in ourselves. Try and stop us, okay? That's the idea of Antichrist. That's the big thing. So in every idea, every spirit is either perfection or perversion. It's either the perfect thing that God created and intended, or it's a perversion of that perfect thing, okay? And that's all Satan has. All evil is a perversion of the good. There's no evil in and of itself. Think of it a little bit like if, I think I've told you before, at my grandma's house, all the jigsaw puzzle boxes disintegrated and were long gone, and she stopped trying to put all the puzzle pieces in individual bags too. So we're just this big sack of puzzle pieces. I mean, you just try your best, you know, is just spend several summers working on these puzzles. You know, when you take a puzzle piece out, you had to decide, which picture am I trying to put together here? Okay. That's kind of what's going on here with every spirit, every word you get, every idea. Does this idea fit into the picture that God painted, that he's putting together? Or does this picture fit in with a false idea, a false picture of the world, a false production? And you need to decide when you pick up a piece or you are given a piece, whether or not to throw it away or throw it back in the bag, in grandma's bag, or make this picture, okay, that God is trying to create. Well, I don't know how your garden did this year. How'd your garden do? My garden did at all. Okay, it was just kind of sad. We blame going to California for a couple of weeks, but it seems to me that what we plant, okay, doesn't do nearly as well as what we don't plant. Okay, weeds do just fine. I mean, weeds are going to be fine. There'll always be weeds, but whatever you cultivate takes a lot of effort and work, right? You gardeners know that. You farmers know that. Every plot of ground, there's competition for that plot, okay? Either what you want to cultivate and plant in it or what is going to just spring up on its own. I like the old Kissinger quote, 90% of the politicians give the other 10% a bad name, okay? What he's saying there is there's going to be a whole lot more worse than good. And I'm afraid to say, in life, there are going to be a whole lot more lies than there are truths. And where there is a truth, anywhere, it exists because it's been cultivated, protected, guarded, and maintained, watered, and nourished. Okay? I'm saying to you in all love here today, you've got to work to cultivate the truth. Ideas want to seek dominion. A lie wants to take control of your heart, your home, your marriage, your family, your city, your church, your school. Lies want to take over. They seek dominion just like weeds try to take over a plot of ground. And I want to say that the truth wants dominion too. God's truth wants dominion. He wants to restore perfection in the world. He wants it to, he's jealous. He wants to get it back the way he planned for it to be. And so I want us to have these ideas, the spirit of truth, to take over. Okay? I want it to have that dominion. Well, the final thing I want you to understand here today, I hope to understand, is that ideas also, they seek souls. Okay? Ideas seek souls. Look with me at verses 4 to 6. Here, he gives this encouragement. He says, little children, again, very parental, very pastoral here. It says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. They're a closed system, he's saying. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. None of us want to be like Pilate, you know, throwing our hands up saying, what is truth? I can't figure it out, okay? I don't know who Jesus is and what's going on here in Jerusalem. I can't figure it out. What is truth? We don't want to be like that. I like how John says here, who is he that is in you? What's he talking about there? The he that is in you is the Holy Spirit, amen? Okay. So if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have within you a built-in tester, okay? Something that built-in is going to take these words, and it's either going to jive because of who Jesus Christ is, the Word, from the very beginning, or not. It's kind of like some of you toolbox people. I wouldn't classify myself as a toolbox person, but you're tool belt people, definitely not a tool belt person. You want a box cutter on there, okay? And sometimes you want that box cutter because there's stuff that needs to be cut off, okay? And I want you to understand, in all of our beliefs, in all of our belief systems, there are things that should be cut out, things that need to be pared off, removed, and thrown away, put into the dumpster, okay? There's a lot that needs to be cut out of our lives and thinking today. Just to encourage you in this one more time, okay, I want to read something Paul has to say. If you have the scripture from Ephesians 6, this is a somewhat familiar passage to a lot of us, perhaps, but I want you to hear it again in the light of what we've just been talking about and what John's been talking about. Here, Paul says to the church there in Ephesus, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Wow, you know. That's a person who is living in the Spirit, okay, who understands the power of ideas, and who also understands that a lie is not benign. It's a scheme, he says, okay. It's an assault. It's a weapon. It's dangerous. And you need to have a weapon to combat it, okay. This is somebody who's playing for keeps. Paul understands that it's a matter of life and death, these ideas, these belief systems that are in our minds, that are in our hearts, that are in our lives. What we think is ultimately a matter of life and death. So church, today, put a guard at that door, okay? Please, put a guard at that door. Test every spirit. Be critical thinkers and surrender to the Spirit and gain discernment and wisdom. Now remember, don't put a guard there just to exclude everything. The Lord wants to say something to you as well, okay? There are words from the Lord that you need to welcome in and apply and give animation. And there are words from the enemy, from the world, that should be excluded. So be guarded. And how do you be guarded? How do you guard yourself? By being submitted to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit to be that guardian at the gate, okay? And the Spirit, I promise, is not going to let, nobody's going to get by that bouncer. Nobody. Okay, if they don't belong, it's going to get kicked out. That's a great way to live. It's a blessing and a way to live. And so I challenge us today to go to battle, to listen, to pray, to discuss, and to guard your mind that it might be a sanctuary for others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is kind of a, passages like this are always a little funny, maybe a little bit hard to access sometimes, but Lord, we're thankful for the ministry of your Holy Spirit today. This was an important challenge and charge, and it's one that's mentioned many, many times in the Bible, the need to be testing a word, to be testing a spirit. And so, Lord, I pray today that us as your people would not be allowing our belief systems to be compromised by lies and deceptions and so on and so forth, that we would take seriously the place of ideas in the formation of everything in our world. And everything in our home and in our lives and everything we hold dear. Lord, that we'd understand that ideas, and by their very nature, want to have control and take over. But Lord, that these ideas are able to be examined and that through ideas, souls can be won, souls can be saved. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us. If we love each other, if we love other people, that we will love ideas, that we'll take ideas seriously. So, Lord, make us a thinking people. Make us a critical people. Make us a people who are able to go into the deeper end of the pool. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.